going to be looking at Jacob this morning for the short time that we have. Jacob is a good study. Probably most of us know a good deal about Jacob from Sunday school class and from all kinds of things down through other lives. You look at the story of Jacob, there's a lot written about him in the book of Genesis. More so than Abraham, and more so probably than I know more than Isaac. Maybe questionable as far as Abraham goes, but there's a lot of Jacob's life in Genesis. So we know just about from his birth to his death, which is an unusual thing. Moses, we know about him from his birth to his death. And Abraham, we know something about him, but he was a man and called by God, a mature person, and he was called by God. But we have Jacob, who seems to have been called by God from his very conception, which is a bit unusual, you might say. And we might also think about how in the world does God know such things, that he can predict the outcome of things, that he can see far beyond what we can see, even from the very birth of a person. It's a strange concept to know that God has that power, and we can't relate to it very well because it gets confusing and mixed up. Well, because we're always saying, if God knows this, then why? So then why? Or are we predestined? I mean, God knows what's going to happen to us beforehand. Sounds like predestination to me. How can we be free and at the same time God knows the outcome and what's going to be in our lives? But the story in the Bible, as Russ has been pointing out to us, is a story of redemption. And no matter how you feel, what you look at and talk about and think about, as far as the Bible goes, its purpose is to show that God is redeeming his creation and his creation in mankind. That he's bringing man into something better than he is. Even something better than when he was first created, if you really look at it. And when he was first created, he was a creature that God was very pleased with, as God was pleased with all of his creation. But I say that because I think from the very concept of God, who knows when that was, of mankind, God has a great purpose in us. And I don't know about you, it helps me in my faith, in my walk with God, to know that as I walk by faith and not by sight, that I have in my future something much greater and better, something that I can't even think about or conceptualize in my mind what it could be, but it's only told to me what it's going to be. And we look at the different things in the Bible, and we can see our path if we look close. This is the reason we study the Scriptures, isn't it? To look at the path of others that God has revealed to us, and look at those paths and be able to judge, to make decisions about our own path through life. That's why we study the Bible. We know that God has a purpose in us. And I don't know about you, I would like to know more about my purpose, wouldn't you? I would like to even know more. But the Bible says these three words, and I've covered this before. Maybe you've forgotten, but maybe you've heard it before, or whatever. There's three words in the Scriptures, and it's in the book of Hebrews. And it says this here. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. That says a lot, doesn't it? We see Jesus. And if you look at that in the context, in the first chapter of Hebrews, if you look at that in context, you'll see that it's talking about Jesus coming to earth and His path in life and His purpose and what He has done for man. And it even compares Jesus with us. Who are we that God is mindful of us? That's where it starts. And then it talks about Jesus. And it talks about Him being made lower than the angels and we being made lower than the angels. That we are here not in a very great state. But God has planned for us something much greater and better. And it tells us, the Scripture's telling us, look at Jesus. Just look at Him. And we'll find our own path that God has planned for us. Because Jesus is the perfect man, you see. The one that did it right. And the one, again, that we look at Jacob, we look at his life, and we can make a comparison to our own life. And that will help us because we want to avoid his mistakes. But then we look at Jesus and his life and his path and his goodness and his righteousness, and it helps us and gives us a measurement that is true and good and that will indeed help us because we can imitate our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is a man that God sent. A man like us, a human being like us, that we can look at him and measure our life by what he said and what he did. And that's a wonderful gift from God. But let's look at Jacob. What do we know about Jacob? He didn't live a real happy life, let's say that. It seems like much of his life was a stressful condition, that he didn't have what he wanted. He was always wanting something different and didn't have it. And it was only later in his life when his family was growing, he had sons that were married, and a big family, it was then that he really discovered what God had for him. And that he could have walked through his life in a different way, and the same result would have happened, yet he wouldn't have had to walk in the stress that he had if he hadn't done what he did. So let's look at one place in Jacob's life. And it's a strange one. It's in the 32nd chapter of Genesis. And it's always been very strange to me. But there's a lot of stories strange in the Scriptures, isn't there? I think they're really strange. Why I say that? I say that because I don't disbelieve it. It's out of my experience. It's just away from me. I don't have anything relative to what's going on, so it's very strange. And yet it's there and it teaches us. We're going to look at Jacob wrestling with God. Now, is that strange or what? I think that it is strange. You say, why did God put that in there? And then my trouble is I think too much. it gets me in trouble thinking. And then I think, well, you know, I look at the words of Jesus and what he said, everything that is written that Jesus quoted Jesus and his words. You know, he never spoke too much about Jacob. He may have mentioned Jacob. And, Jacob is mentioned, it's generally by the fathers of the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those three are always mentioned together because they are the father of the Jewish nation, the fathers of the Jewish nation. And of course, the leaders all looked at that, that those men were the fathers of the Jewish nation. And they stood by that, and they quoted the scriptures concerning them when Jesus confronted them with certain things. They always went back to this ancestry thing, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they still do today, by the way, if you talk in regard to a Jew. Well, Jacob is facing a problem like he is always facing in his life. We know the story of Jacob. He served 14 years for his wives under a person, Laban, that was his, just like him in his nature. He was a liar. He was one who would use you. And these, all the things that Jacob did, you know, before he left his home and went to Laban to live, he did those things. He conspired with his mother, Rebekah, to get the, what is it? Birthright, yes, thank you. To get the birthright. And the strange part about this is that God, through the angels, appeared, I believe I have this right, appeared to Rebekah and told her that Jacob, Esau was going to serve Jacob. And Esau was the first. They were twins. And he was the first. So he had the birthright by the tradition of the Jews, families of that day. He automatically had the birthright. Yet God said that it would be Jacob. And yet Rebekah somehow feels, I guess, there's not a lot written about that, somehow feels that she's going to have to take this situation in hand and make sure it happens. And I don't know why she feels this difference between Esau and Jacob. Seems like her attention is on Jacob and not Esau. Why do you have children and have this difference? I have never experienced that. Right? But I think some people do have a preference in their children. And it seems that here. So Jacob is on moving again. He moves away from Laban. Because he just simply got tired of it all. And God has blessed Jacob. Jacob is not all that good a person, righteous person. He's got an awful lot to learn. But nonetheless, God has given the promise unto Jacob as he has given to Abraham that through his seed all nations would be blessed. And this is the part that we've been studying. Russ has been telling us about how the Bible is so tied to this concept of God's purpose through a nation and through Jesus who was to come. And how Jesus was even in this Old Testament status, looking and providing and giving all that is necessary to bring this about. It's man working in his own way, but God in some way doing things that makes it work out. Now, how do you do that? I don't know. Only by God's power can I even visualize that. He just has more power than I can comprehend. But he had his hands in all this. Do you believe he has it in your life? There is a direction there. And Jesus, when he says, I must go away, and he is away, not physically, he's away. He's not here in the flesh, right? We all agree with that? Now, there's some even today are saying that he's here in the flesh. And every once in a while you'll get it, somebody says, I'm Jesus. We know what Jesus said about that. But he is away. He's not here in the flesh. But Jesus said, I must go away. And if I go away, then I can send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he did. And that's who we have in our lives, that we know if we connect with it, if we connect with this, and I believe we fully have to see it and connect with it, we know that we have someone of God right with us. Jesus is in us through the Spirit. God lives within us through the Spirit. All right, have you ever had, like Jacob here, in your life, have you ever had something that you had to face? That you simply dreaded? That you didn't want? If you could get out of this, you would, by all means, get out of it. You didn't want to confront it. You didn't. Have you ever had that? You can share it with me or with us if you want to, or something. But sometimes those things are hard to share. But I would say probably if we covered the whole class this morning, that every one of us would have that experience somewhere in our life. And here is Jacob. He's going back home. God wanted him to go back home. He's a rich man now. Laban made him rich. God made him rich. But Laban had the resources that Jacob took them all. He tried to deceive Jacob and tried to mess him up, but God wouldn't allow it. And so Jacob's on his way back home, but he's got one problem. What's that problem? He's got the birthright. Yes. His brother. Which is in the way of a birthright, isn't it? He already has it. Ray.
Yes.
Yes, there was.
Oh, yeah. He also had that. But I'm so thankful. I don't want to get ahead of it, but I was so thankful that they recognized that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad of that.
The thing is, God told Jacob to go back home, and Jacob knew Esau was waiting, would be there, and from his perception, his perspective, he thought it was going to be war. And God didn't, the thing is, God didn't say, Jacob, go back and don't fear Esau. There's not going to be a problem. God didn't tell him that. You think that happens in our life? Why? I mean, why wouldn't God say, don't fear Esau. I've got that in hand. Why wouldn't he? And why wouldn't he tell us? Have you ever prayed when you got into these problems? God, deliver me from this. I don't want to face this. And maybe your answer from God, there's no answer particularly. It says, now you just go right ahead, don't fear. There's no going to be any problem. Rick?
Not only that, God gives him an excuse not to go on that journey. Except this is this thing that he didn't want to face.
Uh-huh.
And so God says, forget the map and walk on the bad list. He didn't say, hey, I just made this long journey.
That's true.
I hurt so bad, I just can't walk there. Maybe God will understand. Now that he has touched me and his hip is out of joint and it's all sore, and how can I make this is the excuse he needed to get out of that? So he didn't do that. But a lot of times we're given excuses or situations that we use as an excuse to keep me.
Yeah, which brings me to the point. Why would Jacob need to wrestle with God? You ever think about that? The scripture right here says, if you read it, verse chapter 32, I think it begins at 22. You can read down through there quickly. I'm going to have to go forward here. There's always spent too much time in one thing. But just read it quickly through there as we talk about it. It does say that from Jacob's perception of all of this, that he wrestled with God. Mm-hmm. But there's all kinds of things in the way of that perception. Maybe not all kinds of things, but certain things that we know about. First of all, the scripture tells us no one has seen God. So we know it's in a different way here. Whatever's going on, it isn't the Spirit God, which God says, you can't behold or look at me and live. So it's different. Now, some say it's an angel representing God, but it doesn't say that here. Jacob's perception was that he was wrestling with God. And if you turn over to Hosea and read Hosea, I forget what chapter and verse it is in, but it's there. Hosea mentions this, and he does say it's an angel. So, now, my perception, and this is what Russ does, if you want my part of it, I think it's Jesus. I think it's Jesus in the flesh, just like he was when he was resurrected, or even before Jesus was able. And the scriptures does tell us that the rock, which is Jesus, went before the Israelites in the wilderness. And it tells us that in Corinthians, I believe. The 10th chapter, somewhere in there. I have to look it up. But we know that Jesus, as we've been talking about, was there back then. And sometimes we see it, but it's not said exactly. And here, when Jacob wrestles this person, his name is changed from Jacob to Israel by this one that he was wrestling with. And Jacob says, hey, what's your name? Didn't they? Didn't say it quite like that, but what's your name? And he didn't tell him. He didn't say, I'm an angel. He didn't say, I'm Gabriel. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. He didn't even say this time, I am. He didn't get an answer. Look, if he said Jesus, would Jacob know anything better? He wouldn't know anything more. He says, I am Jesus. We wouldn't know it even if it was back there, but. Because that was all to come. When Jesus was born, it was told Mary to name him Jesus. So his name didn't come, even in eternity, it didn't come until his birth physically in the flesh, when Jesus' name became Jesus. What was it before that? Anybody know? I am.
I am.
I am. He was probably at the burning bush. He was probably in a lot of things. He was probably in Melchizedek. There's a lot of things going on in the Old Testament. Back to the question, though. Why did God? Because this is not Jacob encountering or doing the thing. He was by himself, and he was probably by himself because he was afraid. He sent his company, his family, away from him over the river, and he was by himself, and he was probably praying. He was probably thinking about anything he could think about because he didn't want to face Esau, you see? And he had got himself into this trouble. Is that familiar with us? It was by his own doing that he was afraid of what was going to happen, because it wouldn't have had to happen. God would have caused it to come about in some different way, but the way of Rebecca and Jacob, the way they did things, it caused them problems in this life. Does that sound familiar? It does to me. In fact, most everything that goes on in our lives that causes fear and stress, most of it, not all of it, but most of it is caused by me or someone close to me. Okay?
It's a great lesson for all of us. It's a great example. It's a great example. They have their own personality. But you have to be very careful of how
yes.
you teach
them. Yes.
Because, you know, they're going to be, you may have two or three children, and one may be more responsible than another one. But you still have to love them, you know. And when you start saving them to a degree where it's obvious, you know, it's obvious that you love me better than you love this one or that one.
You're setting yourself up, aren't you?
You're setting yourself up for problems and for failure.
All right, here's the question, though, and I don't know if we have the full answer, but God, at this point, when Jacob's alone, God comes in and starts wrestling with Jacob. Now, what would be your perception? Somewhere in this thing, Jacob realizes this is God. You know, somewhere, I don't know how, it doesn't say how he realized it, maybe when it was hip was thrown out, and all this. I don't know. When he couldn't, did this all night. Now they were wrestling. But Jacob could have taken this as an intruder. He was by himself, and this intruder comes in and physically takes hold of him to the point that he's wrestling to defend or to get loose of this other person. What's he up to? Is he going to steal from me? Is he going to kill me? Does he want my life? What's going on here? And then when we find out it is God, then we have to ask the question, why would God do this strange thing? Why would he wrestle with Jacob? Maybe that's where we're supposed to be thinking. There's no answer to that, but we have to think around. What possibly could be going on here? Stephen? Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's for sure. He did get distracted, didn't he?
There is a lesson to be learned here, and that is, in spite of everything or anything, God wants you to persevere. He wants you to be persistent. consistent with him. And we recognize you as the person of God, even though God has put the pain on him. He said, I'm in a position there where I want him to bless me. It was his opportunity to be close to God, really close to God.
Yes.
Persevere. In spite of everything, he persevered.
Yes. And it's this idea of hanging on that. You realize this person here is something way above yourself, and yet you're clinging and holding on. And you can just, can't you imagine this in your head? Can you imagine this movie going on? Somebody making this movie, and they're wrestling. And it's probably dusty, and the dust is flying up, and they're rolling over and around, and can you imagine that, what's going on here? And they stand off, and just like two men wrestling. They stand off like that, and then they're grabbing, and finally, all night, this is going on. I can't imagine that now at all. I would take me about 5 minutes, and I'd be done. And Jacob wasn't a young man here now. He wasn't a young man, but he did this all night. With the person that he realizes is God himself. So, what else did you see? Yeah?
Say, this is really deep. There's something going on. When this thing was over with, do you think the Lord might have departed saying, nowhere else in the scriptures can you see a situation where the Lord was that physical with another person in his creation. And it came into the blessing, it came into, you know, the gift and the changing of the name and a lot of things. But this was a time that the Lord himself decided something that man very physical. Why? You'll have to ask him. But he did, and several things came out of that, but I think the Lord went away from that saying, you know, I enjoyed that night.
This is very unique, though, isn't it?
It is.
It's a very unique story. It's unbelievable, really.
You know, when he laid the hands on Lazarus, that was something else physical, but he was able to wrestle with mankind. It was so important that it had to be written down for us to ponder and think about.
Yes.
Why did God do that?
Well, figuratively speaking, have you ever wrestled with God? I have. What, in the form of how was I wrestling with that? Yeah, but it was generally something, God, I know what I should do, but I don't want to do it. And I still wrestle in these areas. In different ways, but mostly it's that thing right there. God, I know what I should do, but I don't want to do it. I don't know. You probably don't know this side of me. Of course, Linda does. But I'm a procrastinator. That is, when I get into a real difficult situation, like Jacob here, I'm always in my mind and saying something's going to have to make this better, but it's never going to be me taking, you know, grip of it and facing it and confronting it and doing it. I'm going to put this off, put it off, and it's going to get better. And this is in my brain, and I can't get this out of it because I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping this is going to get better, but it hardly ever does, and I have some way face it. And it's tough. Whereas Linda's idea is, yes, face it, get it over with. I mean, why linger? Be done with it. And that's certainly a better advice, and probably better to do. But I have this wrestling with this. I wrestle with this. And thus I wrestle with God in that same way. Knowing what I should do, but I don't do. Now, there's another aspect of this also that we look at. Jacob, all that was going on, and he knew he had the birthright, and all this had happened, Jacob really didn't have an identity. You look at his life at this point. He was with Laban, and he was second rate in all of this. Though God was blessing Laban and all this, Jacob had to take this status of humble, humility. So he was being taught a lot all in his life, wasn't he? But if we got to watch humility, it's a good thing. It's good to be humble. It's good to be poor in spirit. And I'm told that being poor in spirit is having the power, but you choose not to use the power. That's being poor in spirit. You have a choice. You have power, but you have choice that you use it wisely. Well, you look at Jacob. He doesn't really have an identity. And I think this is why the Lord changes his name. Because Jacob says, or the Lord says, okay, let go of me. It's daylight. Let's quit this. You've prevailed. Let's quit this. And Jacob says, what? I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Now, why? It appears that Jacob already had a blessing. So what do we look at here? He must have been looking for something else because he knew he had the birthright. He knew that he was rich at this point and had everything. And he's asking for a special blessing from God. And this is where God says, your name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel. So that's identity. And Jacob, this is a pivotal point in Jacob's life. This is where we see the change. This is where we see the difference in the way Jacob had been than the way he was going to be in the future. That's important to us. Isn't it important to us? You think when we're with the Lord that we'll have a new name? You think I'll be called Ted? Or you think God will give me a new name? You know, as far as the church goes, the prophets say that we will have a new name. And we always point out, well, that's Christian. But it's not Christian, it's Christ. We have the name of Christ, we wear the name of Christ. Christian has Christ in it, but we know we have the name of Christ. Rick, did you want to say something?
The last time that Jacob and Esau were together, Jacob knew Esau was furious. And he went all of those years, you know, living way to the west from where Esau lived. You know, and Esau got over it. Jacob did. And the whole time that he's come, you want me to do what, Lord? Well, I can't. My hip hurts too bad. You want me to do what? And so going back there, he was still scared. He put his flocks and his herds way out front. He put his servants out front.
He sent gifts to Esau.
Yeah,
he did all this.
Only the closest of his family wrapped around him. This other was out.
He divided his company.
When he was upset. mad, vengeful brother comes, that he'll have to start going through all of that till he gets to him. That's what he was hoping. And then maybe by then he'd be satisfied. But that situation has straightened itself out. And this was still, even though he's now going to be called Israel, that was holding him back from going ahead and saying, all right, this is going to turn out, but I'll go ahead and face it. I'll stop procrastinating.
Well, Stephen?
I want to
say,
in most instances in my life, when I did hear something, situations like this, it was never as bad as I made it out.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. I was going to share something that just happened to me. I shared with the other elders, and we prayed about it and all that. I didn't even talk to my own family about it. I was going to share that, but we're out of time. Sorry. So next time, to be continued. You hate those things? To be continued. Thank you for your attention. It's just incentive for you. See, if we got started right on time, we'd have more time. We got started late.